This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
I'm on the operation. Sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Rest, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, howdy. Good evening. Hey, this is Mitch. I'm trying to reach Tom and get him on the Trump assassination files. Let me keep trying. Let's see, here we go. So because he has an old phone and a cell phone and everything else, and let's try to reach Tom here, and I'm dialing him in here again. Hope we can get a hold of him for tonight. Talked to him last week, and maybe I should have just kept him on the line from last week. Hey, good evening, Tom.
Howdy, Mitchell.
Hey, how you doing this evening? My God, God bless you, sir. God, thank you for joining us tonight here on Revolution Radio. Yeah, we're listener supported, commercial free. We're bringing the truth that, you know, you really can't get in the mainstream media today because they censor, they edit. They deny the reality of the world that we're really living in. And I was speaking with you last week for a few minutes because I returned your call that I was late. God forgive me. And, you know, you had some things you wanted to talk about and some things you wanted to let, you know, the public be aware of. Honestly, I've been doing so much information. I'm not even sure what those are. There are those anymore. I know some of it was about the COVID. Some of it was about viruses. You know, it's about the perception or the information, misinformation that we all live by every day. So I'll let you take it over. And you tell us a little bit about yourself first, because I don't know a whole lot about you, Tom. I don't know a lot about your background. And, you know, I've listened to you talk, and God, you're so smart. And I want to know where you learned, you know, to be so intuitive and honest, because it takes a lot of honesty today not to buckle under to this system that we have. So thank you for all you do.
Well, most of my education is in that curious institution called the school of hard knocks. In other words, experience, right?
Yes.
But I'm kind of lucky because I started out in my adolescence. I suffered from a rheumatic fever. It left me with a damaged heart. So through my adolescence, you know, and growing up time, I was always dealing with the restrictions that arrhythmia and all of that stuff, you know, heart issues posed. So I decided I wanted to pursue a field where I could figure out what was wrong with me. So I started out, after I got out of high school, I ended up pursuing pathology. And of course, since my family were ranchers or dairymen, poultrymen, initially I decided to make sure I would understand the pathology of livestock or veterinary pathology. And then, of course, as I progressed, then I moved into human and into pediatric. And I kind of ignored what I learned as fact in that you know, enterprise until I hit the ripe old age of 49, and I ended up laying on a steel table at the edge of life dealing with cancer. And at that point, I decided to try to figure out again why I was there with cancer. And as I started to reflect on everything I had learned before, I said, wait a minute, I'm here on this table because of my bad choices. So I hate to say this to the public, but at that point I decided to respect what I learned in both veterinary and human and pediatric pathology or human pathology. So at the age of 49 years of age, a week away from 50, I made a choice. And as a consequence, here I am 30 years beyond that, and I'm still alive. When I was initially diagnosed as terminal with malignant melanoma, Clark IV cancer. So at that point, I decided to start speaking the facts. And my fellows in medicine were not very happy because it began to turn their opportunity of profiteering into a profit loss. In other words, if you tell people how to heal themselves, they're no longer a client. And in the process of all that, I became a teacher to the stars, as a matter of fact. That I think I mentioned to you before, Mitch, Kirk Douglas was directed to me when he was dealing with stroke damage, Olivia de Havilland, and many more, including even William Shatner, Captain Kirk of Star Trek, right? So I was able to give advice based upon my experience both in the lab, both in the surgical experience and in the morgue, and more important, my own personal experience. So I know, and that sounds a little pompous for me to say that, I know what viruses are and what they're not. And what's more important is what they're not. They are not infectious particles. Do I hear anybody say, what? Are you crazy?
Well, you know, I always thought about, you know, I think the common conception is that they're alive like an amoeba, for example.
No.
I don't believe that myself. I believe they're almost a type of a parasite. But, you know, you had a better description that's even more accurate than kind of what's in my mind about, you know, that the virus is really just, you know, an information delivery system. Is that kind of it? And it corrupts the cellular structures. Is that kind of, am I going along the right path there?
Go ahead. It does not have the ability to do anything of itself. It's like, you know, I think I used the metaphor of the reserve library, special reserve library. In other words, that's where they put these really precious books, and they don't allow the books to leave the library. You can go in. You can go in the room that these books are stored in and pull them from the shelf. And they've got a Xerox copy machine in that space, or they got desks where you can sit down and, you know, make notes, but you cannot take that book out of the library. Well, that is your DNA. And in the process of, you know, that's the plan, the entire plan for your entire body. And each book has many pages, right? That's my best metaphor to compare it to. You can take a page, put it on the screen of the Xerox copy machine, make a photocopy of that or a copy of that by the Xerox machine, and then you can carry that page out. You can put it in your, you know, in your briefcase, and you can walk out, but you can't walk out with a book. So that single page is kind of like a virus. It has information. But can that page copy itself? Okay, give me an answer. Can a page?
No, it can't. It can't reanimate. It can't do anything. It's just static information.
Exactly. But if you're a live organism with mass and energy, you can read that information and act upon that information. And you can create, for example, you can create a bomb, right? Just from the instructions, but the page itself didn't create the bomb, and it cannot. It can just give you the information on how to do it. And that's all a virus is. It's simply the information, a page out of your DNA or a piece of your RNA, the copy of that. And of itself, it cannot do anything. It has to just simply provide instructions for something that can do something. And of course, right, primarily what I'm talking about is, and you've heard this before, this so-called COVID-19 is simply the symptoms or the consequence of something acting. And of course, the most rational thing, by the way, I'm a little bit stumbling over my tongue because I wasn't quite prepared.
That's okay.
But anyway, Michael, what really makes any sense to me is we're being acted upon by what's called a mycoplasma. You've heard that one.
Yes.
Mycoplasma pneumoniae. And I had my experience in studying those organisms way back in 1963. And I had a student that unfortunately we had doped a petri dish with this mycoplasma organism and had it on the shelf. And when he went forward to pick this petri dish off the shelf, he held it by the cap, which is a slip-on cap. As he pulled this petri dish forward,
everything fell out under it.
Yeah, the petri dish fell out. And it hit the second shelf down and splattered the blood and gelatin agar into both his mouth and my mouth. So we got a super doping, gain of function event.
Wow.
With this mycoplasma pneumoniae. And within a couple of days, like I had even told him, you know, when he dropped the petri dish, of course, you know what you say when you drop something. Oh, shiza, right?
Yeah, so shit, yeah.
so your mouth is open, and this blood and flesh and gelatin splatters into your mouth and is carrying the pathogen that really does cause respiratory distress or, mm-hmm. you know, upper respiratory infection. Yeah. So we'd inhaled, when I say inhaled, we didn't inhale, we actually swallowed that splatter into our mouth. And of course, as it goes down your throat, your esophagus, it passes the trachea, you know, the branch off into your lungs.
And right.
As you breathe, you actually inhale.
Open the airway up, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you draft that infectious material right into your lungs, and there it's happy as a camper, like it just signed in or registered in the Hotel California. You remember the song, The Hotel California?
You can check out, but you can never
leave.
But, absolutely. You know, and when something like that happens, you know, it's a, you know, it's a natural body reflex to draw in air, you know, because of its shock, its accident, it's something unexpected, you know. So, you know, you have that natural reaction. And a lot of times people will, you know, also start touching stuff and they'll start doing, you know, other things and not thinking about, you know, spreading that contamination even more.
Issue of touching something is pretty low risk because oxygen is the enemy of all anaerobic pathogens, and those are the pathogens that infect human beings and animals. There are other pathogens or bacteria that attack plants, but they are what we call cyano, and they are aerobic bacteria. They love oxygen. That's what they live on or utilize for their living. But the anaerobic, the bacteria that cannot stand any large amount of oxygen, they're the ones that have to be inside of you. Well, wait a minute. People say, wait a minute. I breathe oxygen. Yeah, you do. But as soon as that oxygen combines with your hemoglobin, it's no longer really accessible to any tissue except for the target tissues. So there's not any true free oxygen available in your body. In fact, what do we call the oxygen that's kind of floating around freely in your body?
Free radicals?
Free radicals. Do we want to have free radicals?
It wouldn't make sense that we would want, you know, free radicals smashing against our atoms and our DNA. Wouldn't make sense.
Because that actually carbonizes or burns tissue, denatures it or oxidizes it, and it's no longer the tissue that you want. So there are only targets that should have any oxygen, you know, delivered to them, like your mitochondria. So oxygen inside your body is generally bound up. It's not available to anything except where it's supposed to go. So these anaerobic bacteria are like you say, they're in the Hotel California in your body. They're not being burned or oxidized because the oxygen that's in your body is not available to it. But if you take that pathogen and you put it outside the body, if there's not a fat layer around it to shield it, it will oxidize or carbonize. So the number one enemy to any disease-causing pathogen is oxygen. Now, where do you find oxygen?
You'll find, let's see, the blood, essentially all your organs and you know, your whole body, you know, is oxygen, you know, H2O, that's part of water.
I hate to kind of undo your idea there.
Well, no, that's okay. Tom, correct me, because, you know, this is all a learning experience for me, this and for many people out here, because we have conceptions and misconceptions in life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't know, you know, understand, you know, that we're taking a piece of information and kind of turning it a certain way, and it shouldn't be. So I appreciate, no, correct me. Please do. That's why I got you here, my friend. God bless you.
Okay, where do you find oxygen?
Well, let's see. We inhale oxygen. We inhale our blood.
How does that happen?
Our blood system through our lungs.
How does that happen? How can you inhale oxygen? So where are you getting oxygen from?
Well, we're getting it from the air as we inhale it.
Okay. So oxygen is everywhere outside a fat flesh body. So see, I was teasing a friend earlier today. I said, you think God is stupid? He lets the birds fly, and the birds, as they fly, they also, they'll defecate, they'll urinate, they'll exfoliate, they'll respirate. Have you ever walked out and found bird poop on your windshield?
Yeah.
You ever been walking along and had a bird poop on your head?
No, I haven't had a bird poop on me, but, you know, I've seen it happen to people. Was standing in formation in the Marine Corps, you know, at Camp Lejeune. We got a lot of seagulls down there. And it's pretty common, but you just have to stand there and take it, I guess.
Now, if the birds are pooping and they're up, you know, maybe 100 or 200 or 300 or 1,000 feet above you, their poop is falling through the air. It's drying out. And it's being permeated with what? Oxygen. So any bacteria that's in the bird poop are pretty much history, either at the time it lands on your windshield or very shortly thereafter.
Right.
So how many pathogens are out there in the environment?
Gosh, I don't know.
There are millions, but they're dead or in a doornail. See, okay. I worked in a morgue, right?
Right.
I could recognize Guido, you know, the hitman from the mafia. But he couldn't shoot me because he's dead in a doornail. So I didn't worry about him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. You know, most of the viruses and most of the stuff that we have in nature is dead or dying just simply because of the oxygen that it's exposed to. Is that an oxidization, like a rusting type effect?
Yes. Yep. Oxygen wants to combine with anything that's... Okay. You understand what I mean. In other words, oxygen likes to combine with any metal or any organic compound it can. And it will, and it does. So what does God do to protect you from being oxidized from the inside out? He gave you fat. You know, if you want to keep your hands dry, I mean not dry, but if you're working in stuff that's kind of dirty, but you don't want it to be absorbed by your skin, you put in some lotion, right?
Correct.
If you want to keep your skin from drying out, you put a cream on it or a fatty material on it, and it will stop the water from going out through your skin, but it'll also stop oxygen from coming in.
Coming in, a barrier, absolutely.
Fat is the barrier. And I'm not talking about vegetable fat, although vegetable fat will block oxygen, but it won't block sunlight. See, that's the second enemy of pathogens. Number one enemy is oxygen. The next enemy to pathogens is sunlight. What is sunlight? Microwave energy.
Correct.
So is microwave energy friendly to pathogens?
No.
So that kind of blows a lot of people's ideas about 5G.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, the sun is emitting between 750 and 1,000 watts per square yard. How much energy is your microwave tower transmitting, or how much energy is your cell phone emitting?
I have no idea.
At best, 4 watts. Most of the time, depending upon the distance to the tower, a quarter watt, and that's in a sphere. So how much microwave energy is going to be experienced by your skin or your bacteria by your phone.
Gosh.
Basically nothing.
Yeah, very minuscule amount.
But you put a pathogen on the sidewalk at noonday sun, and it doesn't have a chance. I think the longest I could ever determine something would stay viable in the sun is about 4 minutes. That's with a big, big fat coliform bacteria that's got a load of fat on its surface.
Yeah, well, you know, we got about a minute to the break, but I'd like to point out that most people, when they think of the sun and they see the sun, they just think, oh, God, it's like this white ball of light. And most people have that's one of the misconceptions that most people have, that it's emitting electromagnetic energy. And
microwave
drives. Yeah, essentially, that's what drives our Earth. And our eyes, as magical as they are, convert that solar radiation, those solar waves, into the visible light spectrum. And, you know, most people, they can't fathom that, you know, it's actually kind of waves of energy, not waves of light, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
And should be hit break any second. It's about 3-4 minutes or long, and I'll be able to get a drink and pick up where we left off. There's the break. We'll be right back. Tom Rogers.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Interested in the paranormal, murder mystery, real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's hybrid thinking. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mitch with the Trump Assassination Files. Tonight, we're going on a road trip, and we got Tom Rogers in the house giving us information that is common misinformation that people base their lives on, their health decisions and everything else. Thanks for coming on, Tom, and giving us a world-class education that we never got in our official educational process. Thank you, sir.
Well, there's no money in telling the truth, you know that, because people become sovereign. In other words, if you know what's right or what's wrong, you'll make the better choice, and you'll no longer need the assistance of the priest crafters, or the sorceress, the sophistry.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I agree with you. When you go into the truth business and you're straight up tell people the truth, far too often let's just say you become a pauper, but you're honest and you don't worry about it because of the morals and everything and, you know, your stance on in life and reality. Most people are all about money. It should be all about the truth. It shouldn't be about the money. I more than agree with you there.
See, in the mid-50s, myself and a few of my other fellows in medicine, we took a walk because we could feel the profession go from mercy to mercenary. There was a real change in spirit in the mid-70s. And, of course, I became disappointed or disenchanted, and so I kind of walked away. But then in the 90s, when I ended up on the steel table myself, it forced me to go back and reexamine what I knew in the first 30 years of my life.
Yes.
But I realized that when I started to speak out about it, of course, I became a persona non grata. I will tell you, though, I did develop some really good friendships. For example, Eustace Mullins became a friend of mine. I'm assuming you know Eustace Mullins, right?
Honestly, no, I don't.
He wrote the book Murder by Injection. Okay. He also wrote about the problems with the Federal Reserve, kind of like E.G. Edward Griffin in that category. But anyway, like I say, when I hit 49 years and 50 weeks, I was a dead man on a steel table, and I was asking my creator and anybody who was listening to me, what did I do wrong? And the answer was kind of curious. Now, this is in my head. I don't care whether it's real or imagined. But basically, I was told, you already know, idiot. In other words, I was asking, why am I here on this table near death, right?
Absolutely.
So then I said, wait a minute. I've worked on cadavers, worked on patients, living patients, worked on livestock as well. By the way, what's really curious difference between veterinary pathology and human pathology? You want to keep an animal healthy and sellable, right?
Right.
So if an animal is ill, that's an economic loss.
Correct.
But if a human being is ill, that's an economic benefit.
Gain. Yeah, that's a gain. Yeah.
Because you'll pay everything and anything you have to stay alive or stay functional, right?
Absolutely, yes.
But if you're into livestock, you'll pay everything you need to a man who will make sure that your cattle are sellable, or your livestock are sellable. That's the the difference between those two pathologies. In veterinary pathology, your intent is to keep the animal healthy. In human pathology, we'll just treat him, keep him at least comfortable, give him a little bit of morphine or opium, right? Make him think he's better, but are you really better?
Yeah,
why
make him comfortable, right, Tom?
Yeah, make you comfortable until you die. Make him comfortable long enough to take every dollar you can find. Ooh, not cool. So that's why, like I say, in the mid-70s, a lot of us took a hike and left the profession. But when I hit that steel table in 99 or 91, then I was asking for the answers, and I started to reflect on my experience and say, I know where the diseases come from. I know what overburdens my immune system. By the way, what do you think the purpose of your immune system is?
Well, it's really to keep your body balanced. And when it does get affected by pathogens, it is effectively a mechanism, a defense mechanism. But I think a lot of times we so overload our immune systems with such crap. It's, as you're talking, I'm thinking back to my brother who had passed away years ago. His wife, and they lived in a small town in Columbia, Pennsylvania. And there was a lot of metallurgy type industries, ironworks and a few small mills and such right there in town. And not far from where her and her family grew up and where my brother had moved. And, I keep thinking back because it was – and it was such a bad time when my brother passed. He had he had heart problems, and but she lost her mother, and then her sister, and then her father, all to cancer. And I always believed that it was coming from, basically heavy metal contamination. You know, just, you know, because it's like, you live near some place and you're going to get dust and residue, you know, residual pollution and stuff from those industries. And, you know, our bodies are not, you know, designed to deal with all those, you know, heavy metals and all the contamination, and add on top of that all of the unhealthy food that we eat that's sugar laden. And, you know, when my mother had cancer, I really never had thought about it much. But I had realized later then that, you know, as everybody's trying to, you know, help her and feed her and give her treats and all the goodies and all this other stuff. And we're feeding her shitloads of sugar. Pardon my language. But, you know, and, you know, I have to hang my head, you know, because we essentially were feeding her cancer.
Well, I will make you feel a little bit better. Sugar is okay. Not the offense.
Okay. What is...
Okay, just briefly, I'm going to make a side trip on the sugar thing. Everything in the garden contains sugar, whether it's in the starch or, you know, fat, you know, or outright sugar, you know, fructose.
Yes.
All of that is required because sugar is the fuel to run your systems on. It's your gasoline. It's your natural gas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So sugar itself is not the offense. But curiously, we've changed our whole program to where we're eating food that has no sugar. So then the brain says, where the hell is the sugar? Give me my sugar. Give me a Twinkie or something really sweet so I can handle the fat and the proteins that you've given me that have no sugar included with it.
Okay.
See, people want to blame everything on sugar, but in fact, it's the other things that have no sugar. And then you turn to the refined sugar, right, to satisfy that demand for fuel. So people, they've always been led to believe that sugar diabetes is caused by sugar consumption. Quite frankly, no. It's sugar diabetes is triggered by the consumption of insulin or beta particles that produce insulin. And there's no sugar coming with that. So where are you going to get the beta particles or the insulin that's not yours?
Well, we'll have to steal it from another part of the body, or we'll have to find it in another food source.
Yeah, you steal it from another body.
Yeah.
Every animal on the planet has to have insulin as part of its chemical processes. So every animal on the planet contains either an organelle or an organ that produces insulin. When you consume that animal, you get their insulin and the sloughed beta cells that produce it. And any time you put anything in your body that's like your body but not your body, what does your body want to do? If I take another man's heart and put it in your chest, what does your body want to do with that heart?
They want to reject it. Yeah.
Rejection.
Yeah.
So every time you eat an animal, and its bloodstream is carrying insulin, so every tissue of the animal has insulin, and as a consequence, by default, it will have particles of the beta cells or the islets of Langerhans that produce that insulin. And when your body sees that foreign material, it's offended by it. It doesn't want to have those particles incorporated into your tissue. So it builds antibodies to attack and destroy those pieces. But by default, it will attack your own because it's kind of like a SWAT team going after a guy, and one of the guys on the SWAT team has bad eyesight. And one of the members of the SWAT team, you know, they take off, go back around the building, they show up in the area that presumably the bad guy's supposed to be. And if that one member of your SWAT team has bad eyesight, what's he going to do when he sees this figure coming out in front of him?
Well, he's going to unload it, unless they have the correct password or, you know, have the right access key, maybe. I guess I could
say. Yeah, because the SWAT member is a human being and and the gangster is a human being. They look alike. Unless you can see the determining features, right? Like maybe a badge or a patch on the shoulder. That's you. So your body will, when it sees something that's like it, but not it. In other words, that's the bad guy the body's trying to get rid of.
Right.
It will build antibodies to go after that foreign material that's like it. But if the antibodies are not fully healthy and developed, their eyesight will be bad, but it will go ahead and attack anything that looks like a human body. And then it'll check the identity after it's on the ground, right?
Yeah. We'll check him after he's dead.
Oh, I killed one of my own beta cells. I killed one of my own insulin-producing beta cells, so guess what? Now I have diabetes. So what is the cause of diabetes? It's not sugar. Sugar is the innocent victim. Now that you killed the beta cell of your own pancreas, you're not able to produce insulin that's proper, then the sugar you're eating cannot be utilized. You know, sugar, I mean, insulin is kind of like the match to the wood pile, right?
Okay.
The sugar is the wood pile. But if you don't have a viable match, the sugar builds up in your blood vessels, becomes acidic, right? Or becomes an acid and corrodes your blood vessels. So in that light, the sugar is deleterious. Contributes to varicose veins and vascular necrosis that occurs in diabetics, right?
Yes.
But the initial problem is not the sugar. It's the fact that you've killed your own pancreas and your production of insulin, your own.
Yeah.
And you did that by bringing in pancreas and insulin from an outside source, not yours. Now,
Similar, you know, what you're talking about really is similar to a hormone simulator. And I often have wondered, and maybe, you know, this is almost like a verification because it keeps me thinking, you know, it's strange that most of the animals that we seem to raise for meat production and slaughter are females. Eating meat from a female, if you're a male human, does that tend to turn you, bend your gender, maybe is a better way to put it, because of the, you know, the hormone intake from the meat sources that we use?
Well, do you have any ovaries in your body?
No.
Yeah, you're a man. You have testicles, testes. So if you have no ovaries, how much estrogen can your body produce?
It shouldn't be producing any.
None. If you're a man, if you're a female, how much testosterone should your body be able to produce?
None or very little, I would imagine.
None. You don't have any testicles in a woman. And there is no other organ that can produce testosterone other than a testicle. There's no other organ in your body that can produce estrogen other than the ovary.
Well, I know, you know, there are a lot of hormone simulators and endocrine disruptors out here that we, you know, we have contact with every day from, you know, the plastic bottles and, you know, plastic in general, the mold and everything, that is made and, you know, the anti-stick stuff, you know, the heat treated, cash register receipts, you know, clothing and, you know, it is so, prevalent everywhere, you know.
Okay. You talk about the model, right? The plastic bottle.
Yeah.
For a period, I worked for, DuPont Plastics there in Elizabethtown, New Jersey, producing plastic fiber and, of course, plastics. And one of the compounds that we added to the concoction was tallow, animal fat.
Yes.
So where would you find a source of estrogen in plastic?
Well, certainly would
from
be
the animal fat.
Tallow, yeah. In...
Yeah. So... But what's more important in terms of our contamination with estrogen or testosterone is not the bottle itself, but it's what's in the bottle. What do you usually find? Where can you find a large super doping of estrogen in a plastic bottle?
Oh, gosh, bottled water. It would be.
Is there any overease in water?
No. But
what about in what would
milk?
You find in a bottle? Milk.
Yeah,
what is the milk. Calf or what is the cow? Male or female?
Well, no, I understand. Cow's milk is, you know, that's what cows lactate. I don't know if some people know that or not.
Yeah, they think they got the milk from the grocery store somehow magically in that bottle, you know, and great stuff, right? They don't realize it comes from an animal that quite often we've medicated or doped to stimulate more milk production. And as a consequence, we dope them with estrogen that we harvested in the slaughterhouse from killing other animals, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, slaughterhouse waste is a very profitable product. We extract a lot of medications, in fact, the vaccines are part of that. The vaccines are a production of the slaughterhouse. Vaca, scene. Take the word apart. Go back to Latin. The word vaca, what does that refer to in Latin? Cow, cattle, scene or cinema, life, force, something that looks like or appears to give life. So vaccine itself is a giveaway. It is the blood, the life force of the animal, the cow. So there are millions and millions of gallons of blood that are being, utilized from the slaughterhouses to produce the vaccines. So when I inject you with a vaccine, what am I putting in you? The tissues of another animal.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that. All right. I should say I didn't realize that they were, trying to utilize every bit and piece of bone and sludge and meat. Now I'm familiar with butcher shops and my uncle had one and, you know, I'm from up in central Pennsylvania area, Pennsylvania Dutch. And, you know, they boil everything down. You know, pretty much. But I really never thought. Go ahead.
When you're having a sausage or a hot dog, what are you eating?
Oh gosh, hard telling. Probably what's been mechanically centrifuge spun off the rest of the bones with the ammonia and who in the hell knows what else.
Yeah, a little sodium nitrate to, you know, to cover the bad taste, right?
Yeah, there's some salt.
But nothing is wasted. If we can make money out of it, we'll turn it into sausage.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the pink slime burgers and stuff that they have in the fast food restaurant industry is that never went away. You know, they got caught hell for it for a little bit. But, you know, they changed the name and then they added it back in. So it's so much waste, though. And, and the prices are so cheap that they have to use it really to make profit margins today.
It's unfortunate. And you're not going to throw anything away that you can sell.
Yeah.
In one form or another. So everything in the slaughterhouse is captured, and it ends up in all kinds of products, including plastic. Again, like I say, we were using tallow, the fat, to make a plastic actually pliable. If you take a petroleum resin and you don't add a fat to it, it becomes too brittle.
Too brittle? Oh, yeah, wow. Somebody in the Revolution Radio chat room just pointed out, Wally said that Jell-O is from cow bones.
So, yeah, hair, the hide, the tendons, the cartilage in the bones, and even the bones themselves. See, bone is not just calcium or a mineral. Bone is like a brick wall. Pieces of mineral are the bricks, but the mortar is gelatin. That's why you can actually strike a bone and not break it, because it's mortared together. The little bricks of calcium and magnesium and all that mineral are mortared together with Jell-O. And if you just cook that bone in a high temperature pressure cooker, you'll extract even the Jell-O inside the bone. Yeah. Plus all the tendon, the hide, hooves, hair, eyeballs, anything that's actually flexible on the animal basically is made flexible by the inclusion of gelatin.
Hey, Tom, we're up against another break. We'll be back in a few minutes with Tom Rogers. Ladies and gentlemen, get news and information that the mainstream won't tell you right here. Be right back. After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Taken. The blinders are off. Are we in the end game? Or are we simply living a replay of a time that's already happened with no choices? Different people have different points of view. When it comes to creation versus evolution, my point of view, we were created to evolve. The Red Pill. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern in Studio B. www.freedomslips.com and revolution.radio. Check it out.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to the Trump Assassination Files, streaming live from Franklin County, Virginia, with our guest, Tom Rogers, bringing us some... the medical truth we really never thought about. We never paid attention. And I have to say thank you, Tom, because you are a breath of fresh air. You know, I've been bitching all the last couple of weeks. I've been complaining and bitching on my show about the lack of professionalism. And, you know, where in the hell did it go? Because it seems like, you know, the people, the professionals that know this information, and, you know, many of them, you know, kept their head down. They hid in the foxhole, so to speak, you know, and those who raised their voices and said, well, that doesn't sound right, because all of the information, everything we knew before, has all of a sudden changed. You know, for me, one of those things was masking and, you know, wearing these cloth masks. And it's such a joke. Cause listen, I've done asbestos removal. I've worked as a hazardous waste removal worker. You know, I've worked, 18 months and more in, a nuclear power plant under all types of respirators, under all types of conditions. And, you know, I've done regular construction work, in houses and in factories, and it was such a joke. And, you know, why more people did not speak up about the masking. And in fact, if you didn't hear, Tom, Philadelphia went back to masking today indoors. It's government mind control. It's government training. And that's all it is, that wearing a mask. It's, I listen to the government. I'll buckle down. What else do I need to do? It's idiocracy that, we don't need that right now. We need truth. We need facts. We need good information. We don't need this politicized crap that we're getting. And so, it's a failure of professionalism, Tom. That's how I see a lot of what we are living with today. Because I know, you know, because I speak to doctors at the VA hospital, for example, and, you know, I rant and I rail and I give out all the statistics and I ask them, where the hell is this from? And, you know, because it's not the real medical world. Where did the 30 million plus flu cases go last year? And, you know, they kind of look at me dumbfounded because I don't know if they are so involved within their job and the hierarchy and just their day-to-day doctoring that they missed the memo. You know, they missed the fact that, you know, everything you knew before you had to forget and you just follow this script and everything will be
the
okay.
New science, yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes, Tom, it's crazy. Go ahead, I ranted for a minute.
Well, like I say, in the mid-70s, mm-hmm. quite a few of my fellows and I left the profession because we felt this change.
Yeah.
And when you're being educated in medicine, you're being very carefully guided. And the primary money behind all of that is the pharmaceutical complex. I mean, for example, I'd be asked to do a research project and they, for example, Eli Lilly or let's say Merck, Pfizer, say, here's a project we'd like you to work on, but this is what we're kind of hoping you find. When you're prejudiced already for the sake of money, what do you think you're going to find?
We have this little thing. Answer they need.
You know,
do I get another
little
grant? Is that the next question? Do I get another grant? After they agree,
there is this axiom, in our fellowship: figures don't lie, but liars figure.
That's true.
And the sad thing is when you've put out several hundred thousand dollars in education, and you're trying to pay back that loan or that investment, you pretty much have to stay in step with your fellowship. And that's where, like I say, a handful of my fellows and I decided we're not willing to sell our soul to the industry just to make it profitable.
Yeah.
You know, a few of my friends and I, we went into medicine because we actually did want to heal people. But when we felt like it became a mercenary operation rather than a mercy, you know, your conscience doesn't let you do that. So I ended up moving into electronics for a period until I ended up on the steel table myself at the VA. And I was asking my body and the spirit or the angels, what did I do wrong? And like I say, I told you before, the statement was impressed into me: you already know, idiot. Now, I know angels are not going to call you an idiot if they're good angels. But maybe if they're really good angels, they will call you an idiot, right? Because, see, I worked in the laboratory. I cultured pathogens. I knew what it required to culture a pathogen. You can't culture any pathogen that attacks you or animals in potatoes or carrots. Or apple juice. In fact, I turned over cases where apple juice was being accused of being the cause of death for a baby, for example, in San Diego. When I had them bring me a sample of the apple juice, and I wetted a slide, put it under the microscope, I said, show me the E. coli. Okay. Oh, yeah, there's a couple of E. coli in that slide. Well, guess what? It's like going in the morgue. You roll out a drawer, you're going to find a human being in that drawer, right? But is that human being going to be able to raise up and cut your throat? No, it can't do anything. It's just there. So I said, yeah, there's E. coli here. That's from the bird that flew over this apple, dropped poop on it, The poop was drying out. The E. coli was in the poop from the bird. But can that E. coli do anything to you or to the baby that you claim that it alleged that it injured? So when they realized that the E. coli in the apple juice was dead, could not harm anything, then I said, now let's go to something that will carry E. coli live and happy and multiplying. Go grab me a carton of pasteurized milk. And I put a drop of that pasteurized milk on the slide, put it under the microscope and with the projection microscope. They got to see on the screen initially a few dozen bacteria wiggling on that screen. And as the light warmed the milk up and the bacteria with it, they began to multiply. They kept on drinking the milk and multiplying until they filled the entire screen, wall to wall E. coli. Now I said, now, which of these liquids brought infection to this baby? The apple juice or the milk? Because the bacteria in that milk were always alive. The bacteria in the apple juice are dead already. So which one is going to cause you infection?
The live ones, of course.
The live ones. So here's the rule of pathogenesis from the beginning of time until forever. The rule is fat, flesh, plasma is required by any pathogen that attacks you or any other animal or member of the animal kingdom. So anything that's outside of that fat, flesh, and envelope, it's kind of like that's the old Volkswagen bus that's been outfitted as a camper, right? You got a toilet, you got a refrigerator, you got a bed in that little Volkswagen bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how hard it rains or how brutal the sunshine is outside, you can stay inside that little air-conditioned Volkswagen, as long as you keep your motor running, right? It'll be air-conditioned.
Right.
And you're protected from the violence of the sun and the dryness of the desert that you're at. And you can rest, you can eat, you can have your sandwiches, you're going to have your flush toilet in that little van. You're good to go. And then when the weather turns good outside or the environment outside, you step out of your van and you go on your hike or whatever you're doing, and you're in good shape. Well, see, that's the same rules of pathogenesis requires. It's got to be protected from the sunlight, the oxygen, the energies that are outside in the environment that are deleterious. It's got to have a food supply. That's the flesh. And it's got to be able to, move from a position of nourishment to a position of toxicity from its own fecal material to a new material, a new space. Sorry, I'm struggling with my words.
That's okay.
That a fomite. Fomite is a biosphere, a place where you have the nutrients you require, the water or moisture you require, and protection from the harsh elements of the environment. So how do you get a pathogen into your body? Not through apple juice, not through air, not through surface, not through even casual contact. Because tell me about the human body. If you're out there in the desert and you happen to put your arm up to your mouth, what do you taste on your arm?
Well, you taste the salt from your perspiration.
And how do we preserve meat in the old days?
Absolutely, salt.
Uh-huh. So salt, which is a base, right, is corrosive. Now you also have oil glands on your skin. They produce mild acids. See, God is not stupid. He created you as a very sanitary creature. You're the only animal on the planet that actually can sweat. You know that? A horse can lather, but that's about it. The human being is the only animal that actually has halide pumps in their skin to pump out salt and sanitize the human being, or oil glands that keep your skin, you know, soft and fluffy, but also in that oil is mild acids. Oh, by the way, what's in your saliva or your mucus? Because you eat a lot of stuff, right, that's been out, been handled, whatever.
Well, you.
By the way, what did your mother or grandmother tell you about chewing your food?
You make sure it's thoroughly chewed before you swallow it. I would think that we, like dogs, have a certain amount of antibodies within our saliva.
It is a very powerful antiseptic.
Enzyme. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, there are enzymes in your saliva. There are digestive enzymes, but they're also lysozymes. Lyse means to cut, okay, to denature, to separate. So what's that product we buy and we wipe down our counters with? What's the name of that stuff?
That Lysol stuff, yeah.
Lysol. It's an antiseptic, right?
Correct.
Based on the same chemistry as your own saliva. Wow, isn't that fun? By the way, have you ever had a baby that you put on the floor and the family cat comes into the space by the baby? What does that baby want to do with the kitty? Grab it, love it, right? Mm-hmm. Kiss it, maul it. Now, what if you have a puppy? And when the puppy comes into the space with that baby, what does the puppy want to do with the baby?
It wants to kiss and love and all
stick
over.
Stick its tongue in the mouth and mm-hmm. every ear orifice it can find, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did the baby die from that love from the puppy?
Of course not, yeah.
Now, answer me, where was the tongue of that puppy before it put its tongue in the mouth of the baby?
He probably cleaned his ass or his nuts.
Or the other puppy, too.
Yeah, the other puppy, who knows? Yeah, where that thing's been.
See how stupid God is? God made those animals want to love that baby. That God is so stupid, he hasn't read that memorandum from the World Health Organization.
Yes. Well, you know, I am a firm believer, you know, in that, you know, we cannot live a sterile life. You know, we need, as human beings, from when we're little to till we die, we need to be exposed to pathogens. And number one, we can't live in a bubble. You know, you can try, but you're not going to be successful. And, you know, it's my belief that the less exposure you have to pathogens on this world, the less vibrant and, you know, the less immune system or, you know, capable immune system that you have.
Well, we are designed to deal with dead pathogens as a stimulation to help produce antibodies or the immune system processes. It's like me walking into the morgue. I open that drawer and here's Guido. He's the, you know, one of the hitmen for the mob. I'm going to take a picture of him. I'm going to make sure I, you know, make a record of his features, by the way. So then if I see anybody out in the hallway that looks kind of like him, I'll figure it's his brother or his cousin. I may not be as safe with him as I would be with Guido in the drawer, right? But I will at least develop a recognition ability. So if you want to deal with bacteria, you want to deal with the dead bacteria. And that will prepare you for maybe a accidental infusion of live bacteria, kind of like the milkmaids. See, everybody has heard the story of the milkmaids, how they handled and they milked the animals that had cowpox. Mm-hmm. And they were the members of the community that never developed smallpox. because they were always handling these animals on the surface. By the way, as slaves or indentured servants as they right. were, they were not allowed to drink the milk or eat the product from the ranch. They were given a quarter acre of ground, and they were ordered to produce their own food sustenance on that quarter acre. So they were vegetarians. But they handled the animals. They got to deal with the bacteria that ended up on the outside of the animal. Right. But the bacteria on the outside has already been denatured by oxygen, sunlight, cosmic energy, particles from the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they didn't have any more food, they didn't have any real moisture or fat to protect them. So the milkmaids were handling these things, and they would actually get these dead bacteria into their mouth or into their bodies and develop immune system antibodies based upon the dead organism.
Right.
So when the live ones came along, their immune system recognized the live ones and was prepared for the battle. How's that for a cool program?
Oh, that's absolutely, you know, that to me, that's the best case scenario for us as humans. Unlike, you know, using dead bacteria, dead virus material, you know, to stimulate an immune response. You know, not to have an injection that requires a component to turn off our immune system. So the spike protein can be generated, as, you know, we have with this mRNA, you know, technology that they're using today. It's madness. It's madness.
Well, a lot of the stuff you've been told is blovia. You know what I mean by blovia?
Yes.
Exaggeration.
Yeah.
Imagination. And if you're a scientist and you're trying to prove your worth or your value, you're going to write stuff. You're going to say stuff that makes you look like you're really smart and makes everybody else look like they're pretty stupid, because they are. But the guy who's writing this stuff, he's not telling you the real truth. The fact is, pathogenesis is so simple. And like I say, it has been fixed since the beginning of time. And if you can expose your body to a dead organism, it will develop an immune response to that dead organism, like recognizing Guido in the drawer. So that when his brother shows up, you've already got your concealed carry ready and on you, right?
Well, you know, the COVID virus that went around. I caught
the alleged virus that went around.
The alleged virus. I caught a very one of the severest upper respiratory infections I ever had in
pseudomonia.
March of 2018 or 2019. It was 2020, excuse me. It was right, you know, in the beginning of all this. And it took my immune system 6 months to effectively clear it.
You were reinfecting it every day.
Well, you know, it was very hard for me because I have sleep apnea. And I don't sleep very well at all. And so I had to take extreme caution.
So did William Shatner. By the way, so did William Shatner.
Wow. And I had to take extreme measures, not only to keep my machine clean, but one of the things that I had a problem with was severe congestion. And I had this phlegm that was more like rubber cement than phlegm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was chunky, gooey, ugly stuff. And at the worst of this, the initial infection, I could take in the deepest breath that I could possibly even pull in or try to pull in. and I couldn't get any air in my lungs. My chest wouldn't even rise. But because I use my, I have a CPAP machine, what I did was, I turned the moisture function on that up to maximum. Yeah. And I used it to liquefy
to dissolve, the phlegm,
my phlegm that was in my chest. Now, I did end up with bronchitis, with inflammation on my whole chest area, which was another cycle, you know. And slowly, I guess my system built up enough to resist the reinfections that I was getting, because I'd be good for 2 weeks to 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'd start with this upper respiratory infection stuff. And but I, you know, I eventually got over it, and I've had one little blip of sickness since that. And you know, and everybody's talking about everything that's been going around, and you know, the other family members here at the house, they didn't appear to get severe COVID at all. I kind of kept myself kind of isolated, and especially for the first several weeks and stuff. So, you know, it's probably a good chance that they, you know, actually acquired an immune response, you know, from the possibly the dead pathogens that we slough, that I slough, that we all slough every day. And we can't go anywhere, you know, whether we're breathing or, you know.
Well,
or
if you
just
slough a pathogen off, what's going to happen to that pathogen?
Well, it's going to attenuate. It's going to die. It's going to be damaged by the oxygen, the external environment.
So is it going to infect anybody else?
Probably not, because it's outside of its bubble. So
see, that's the big lie. That is the freaking stupid lie.
Okay.
That we've all been suckered with.
Okay. Hey, we got a break. We just come up on the break. I'm sorry, Tom. Hold on. We'll be right back. And you can, like I said, correct me, because I need it. We'll be back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Ladies and gentlemen, your lives are becoming more difficult as the life force of your world is draining away. Have you noticed that as everything around you seems to decline, one thing still grows? It is the power of your rulers. None of their plans and directives have solved your problems or made your life better. The only result has been their increased control over you at the cost of your freedom. Do you know why? You gave them the power. They called for your sacrifice, and you thought it was noble. They said if you worked for yourself and your family, that you were selfish and uncaring. And they made you feel ashamed. They denounced the leaders of industry as greedy exploiters. You agreed. All evil needs to win is the consent of good people. To everyone within the range of my voice, you now have a choice to make. If you decide to support the notion of sacrifice enforced by the state, your game is up. Your world is in a downward spiral, and you will ride it down to destruction. But if you share the values, if you believe that your life is a sacred possession for you to make the most of, if you want to live by the judgment of your own mind, not edicts from the state, then follow our lead. Do not support your own oppressors. Stop letting the system exploit you. Form your own communities on the frontiers of your crumbling world. Your rulers hold you by your endurance to carry the burdens they impose, by your generosity when you hear cries of despair, and above all, by your innocence which cannot grasp the depths of their evil. The world you are living in is the world they wanted. Leave them to it. Those who are eager to build a better world, a world of freedom and opportunity,
a world based on mutual respect. In that world, you will not receive alms, nor pity, nor forgiveness of sins, but honor, respect, and justice. Don't let the fire go out spark by irreplaceable spark in confusion and despair. The world you desire can be won. It exists. It is real. It is possible. It is yours.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. The number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. It's your world. Take it. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Revolution. Radio! Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, howdy, howdy. Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Hey, welcome back. We got Tom Rogers on the line, and he was just getting ready to kind of sit me straight about, you know, something that we commonly think about, and we commonly say, oh, we do all this, we, you know, fail to realize the practicality of the science that we're dealing with. Is that maybe a description of what I'm talking about, Tom?
We are so brainwashed, so gaslighted. We believe something that the ancients would be laughing at us for accepting, because they didn't have the TV, they didn't have the media, they didn't have the propaganda shoved down their throat. They simply learned by observation. They learned the people who did certain things suffered certain consequences. Others who did not do those things skated through life happy, healthy, vigorous, intelligent, bright, you know, clear-headed. So we've been suckered. We have been really super suckered into believing that disease transmits through the air, through taking care of grandma or grandma being taken care of by the kids. You know that Christ was a super spreader? Has anybody ever figured that out? He went from one sick person to another sick person, laid his hands on their head, gave them a blessing or a scotch blessing sometimes. You know what I mean by a scotch blessing. He says, don't do that anymore. So both God and the prophets obviously have not gotten the World Health Organization or the CDC memos, because they told you to care for the sick. How about the poor man laying on the side of the road, tended to by the Good Samaritan? Did the Good Samaritan put on his PPE and his mask?
No. Of course not.
What did he maybe know intuitively? You can't get sick by caring for the sick. And for decades, I did that. I would go from one patient to another, never worrying about getting sickness from that patient who was, you know, in death's row.
Yeah.
And I look at the doctors and nurses today and I think, how far away from the truth have they gone? But see, we very carefully educate the medical personnel now in little boxes, cubicles, so that they don't get to look at the grand overview of disease. They look at a little piece. So they think within the terms of that little piece. They don't realize that disease has to be reservoired somewhere, has to be transmitted, and it cannot be transmitted other than through fat, flesh, and plasma. And that's the reality. That is the absolute reality. And see, when that Petri dish splattered into my face, I didn't have a mask on. I wasn't wearing a mask in the lab. How come? Because I was not anticipating blood or flesh or plasma ending up in my mouth.
Correct.
Now, in the surgical theater, we'll wear a mask, not to protect the patient, the source of infection, but to protect the doctor from any blood splatter that might have been in his mouth in the process. So the mask has its function, and that is only to protect you from large or macro globs of flesh with infection in it.
Oh, so, no, absolutely. I was kind of laughing because I read one study about the efficacy of the cloth masks in particular. And I was reading through this thing and, you know, it took me about 10 minutes to kind of figure it out. And they were literally, how should I say it, justifying the masking by taking one alleged piece of the virus, or, you know, one bacterium or
particle,
one virus,
yeah,
in a droplet of water, and because of the, you know, the expiration, you know, of your breath or your coughing or whatever. And, you know, it was pathetically funny that the rates of the very small particles with moisture in them, you know, pretty much escaped right through the mask. And that, now what they did was they justified the efficiency of the mask by the larger particles of respiration of air and stuff that you would exhale. And, you know, it's like, you know, within minutes, the mask, if what effectiveness you had, which was only about, I think, 52% or so, that it was halved, you know, with just within minutes because of, you know, the moisture getting on the fibers and, you know, weighting the fibers down, and effectively then everything just was blow by.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. And so I laughed, and, you know, and I just shook my head because this was, you know, this was stuff that was, you know, projecting itself as real science. And, you know, it was, you know, statistical bullshit, essentially. And, you know, it was, you know, it was like blowing smoke up somebody's rear end, because the truth is, you know, your mask, it becomes so ineffective so fast. You know, that it's number one, it's just impractical to wear outside. But the other part piece of that is, you know, you can't really protect yourself from, you know, all of the alleged pathogens that we live in this world, you know, whether they be, you know, viruses, bacterias, or fungi, or whoever. It's a fool's errand, I guess, you know, the way I look at it. and why people still continue to, you know, go along with that. It's beyond me. It's beyond me. So.
Well, what's really important for the mask, it's your symbol of compliance.
Yes.
Also, it reduces your intelligence because you end up with hypoxia, lower oxygen. So you're dumber and you're more vulnerable to suggestion. Anyway, just sad. By the way, I forgot to tell people, if they're trying to figure out who I am, go to the website, either gassingamerica.com or meadowsfire.com. That's the case I'm working on right now. Or the easy way to remember to find me is go into tominutah.com or tominutah.us. Or for my own personal story, tominutah.org. Now, I wrote that personal story way back in the 90s. And I wrote it in a way that it would not offend my fellows in medicine. So it's very childlike or amateurish. But hidden in there is a message. And it is telling you basically what I had to finally comply with in terms of my science to turn my health around. By the way, everything that we do affects our health, right? Like you're talking about the exposure to the toxins in that environment. That suppresses the activity of the immune system. But I will tell you this, way back in the beginning of man, the primary purpose for the immune system was not to fight bacteria, because he had been told to live in the environment of the what? Where was Adam and Eve? Whether Adam and Eve are real or metaphor, it doesn't matter. I love and I accept the story as a metaphor. Where was Adam and Eve created? In a slaughterhouse, in an industrial complex, or the garden?
Definitely the garden.
Was there any toxins in the garden from metallurgy or fine smelting?
No, it was
whatever.
A pristine natural environment.
Okay. Now, was there any slaughterhouse in the garden?
No, man was man a vegetarian?
He was an herbivore, right?
Yes.
So he didn't have to deal with pathogens other than the external contact with the dead ones. So what was the primary purpose of his immune system? To deal with sunlight, to deal with cosmic particles. That was it. To deal with the aging of his own tissues. So the primary purpose of the immune system is to fight cancer. But we take our poor immune system, we overburden it with these pathogens that we get from the slaughterhouse, complemented or offended by the toxins from industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
That makes great sense. I really never thought about it like that, in all honesty.
When you unburden your immune system from the pathogens of the slaughterhouse and the toxins of industry, then it can focus on doing what it was designed to do. That was to take care of the cancerous or the aging cells of the human being's internal functions. That's why Kirk Douglas got another 20 years when he became vegan. That's why William Shatner got rid of his fat and his the same issues you're dealing with, right? With
I'm fat. I'm well overweight. So yeah.
And you could probably eat a 24-inch pizza on your own, right?
Yeah, probably if I chose to. Yeah.
That's what funny. See, William Shatner was guided to me by Kirk Douglas's friends back when Kirk was, you know. He'd just gone through a stroke damage, and so he was told to get with me. I had actually gone to Hollywood to teach the film industry. And so I was well known. Anyway, when Kirk Douglas had gone through a stroke, he was looking for a way out. He sat with me and William Shatner in 1999. And I told him to get back into the garden, stay out of the slaughterhouse, stay away from the industrial crap, including industrial food, like fast food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to nature and watch what happens. Well, Kirk Douglas got another 20 years. He died at 104. He didn't have to deal with his sleep apnea or his respiratory distress either. Same thing with Shatner. I mean, Shatner looked like the Goodyear blimp, right? Like the Hindenburg.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when William Shatner was had bloated out, so to speak. And I think part of that's too, not only that, but it's inflammation, you know, because of the foods and from the meat products. I think we get a lot of inflammation in our system from that.
Yeah, we've been poisoned subtly. And we love it. It tastes so good.
Mm, yeah.
But what you'll find out is when you get away from the toxins that kill, as we call them, you'll find out your food from the garden tastes even better. We have dumbed down our taste buds with the industrial foods. So when you're eating an avocado, you don't realize the beautiful flavor of the avocado. When you're eating a tomato that's grown, you know, naturally, you don't know until you experience that again how wonderful that tomato is.
No, you're
anyway,
right. You're right.
So the basis of all my message is get back into the Garden of Eden and watch what happens. And COVID becomes a non-issue. You can't transmit COVID any other way than in flesh, either flesh or flesh products. Okay, that includes dairy, and I hate to say that, that also includes egg. In fact, Typhoid Mary sickened people not with her hands or her embrace, but with her beverage. What was the favorite beverage of this rather unhappy spinster?
I don't know.
She was from Ireland. She loved her beer or her brandy.
Mm-hmm.
But to buffer it and make it palatable, what did she add to it?
Well, it must be an egg. We were talking about eggs a minute ago. I've never, my family, you know, when I grew up, they really never partake much of alcohol. And I drank when I was in the Marines and when I went in the military. But I really don't like the taste of beer. And if I drink anything, it's a mixed drink with some moonshine in it. But
especially if you have the black beer that the Irish like or make. You'll buffer it with an egg and even sometimes with milk and a little bit of spice. Now, what do we call that?
Eggnog.
Eggnog. And what is the egg famous for vectoring? Salmonella. Oh. What is the pathogen of typhoid fever? Salmonella. And if you take salmonella and put it on a surface, what happens to it?
It'll die.
It dies. If you take that salmonella and put it on the skin of Typhoid Mary, what happens to it?
It'll die.
It'll die. So she never infected anybody by her embrace or caring for them, but by her sharing of her eggnog or her nog.
Wow.
Real
quickly, we got about 8 minutes or so left.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, if Typhoid Mary and somebody else got, you know, kind of busy, you know, they got, you know, had not only just sexual contact or you know, some, you know, parts of necking and kissing and all that. Would that also, transfer if, you know, particularly, I guess, if they were drinking at the time?
Remember what your saliva is made of. What is the chemical purpose of your saliva? It's to break down animal fats and proteins. Or excuse me.
That's okay.
To begin digestion. So it's not good for bacteria. And when you're coughing up, what are you coughing up? Swallowed saliva or mucus produced in your lungs, which is all antiseptic. So how many live bacteria are you going to find in your droplets?
Probably not many. And those that would
that's what I love.
Dying, right?
That's what I love about the microscope. The microscope never lies. It doesn't lie to you. It tells you what is real. That's what I like about real science. I'm talking about real science, not this bullcrap we've been fed. Excuse me.
I certainly have to agree with you that an education through, you know, critical observation and observation of nature is far superior than, you know, going into a classroom setting and having someone, you know, tell you what they saw or what the textbook says. You know, that's one of the things that I see, I guess, so prevalent in the media today is that they're so full of crap. And, you know, it seems that there really is not any news. It's just a structured propaganda. And I have the same problems as many other people, and because I have this inherent distrust. And it's funny how I can read through news articles and pick things out, but it's very hard for me to apply that same skepticism, you know, that same type of critical thinking to every other part of my life, because, you know, we've been fed so many misconceptions and so much information that, you know, I specialize in, you know, this conspiracy against Donald Trump, and I have a good in-depth knowledge about it. And, you know, it's essentially the same thing as the medical system, as you've explained it. We've been, you know, lured and gaslighted into positions on certain topics. And while we will question certain parts of the reality that we're kind of educated and thrust into, you know, until we do the critical thinking and the actual observation, it's hard for us to divorce ourselves, maybe is a good way to put it, from that training, from that gaslighting, from everything that we've, you know, learned. So it's very hard to, I don't want to say relearn, but to discount what you've been educated about firsthand, to accept the reality of another position. Maybe that's the way.
Well, when I told William Shatner to give up his pizza, he said, but it tastes so good. But I said, is it good for you? Is it shutting down or producing high levels of mucus in your lungs? The primary primary trigger for mucus production in your lungs in terms of food items is dairy, especially cheese. And, of course, that's what makes the pizza so delicious, is the cheese. So I said, well, you got to make a choice. Life and no cheese.
Yeah.
Or cheese and death. Yeah. See, it takes 10 to 70 pounds of milk loaded with estrogen, of the fats and the steroids, the hormones, to produce a pound of cheese. And then when you cook that cheese, what comes out of that cheese as you're cooking it in the oven? Fat. Well, that's the carrier of the hormones. So it's that fat is the vector for the estrogen and the other hormones of the animal coming into you and causing your body to turn against itself. And every person that I have advised, and they follow the advice to get off of the dairy, particularly the cheese and the butter, the concentrated forms, they experience a miracle within days. They could breathe again. They didn't have to have a CPAP machine and be annoyed through the night, right?
Yes, it can be. It absolutely can be. And, you know, that I've been piece by piece meal. I've been changing my eating habits. So, I've been particularly trying to move away from all the refined sugars. And, I'm addicted to sugar, in all honesty.
You're not addicted to it. You are, your body demands it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because when you're eating, okay, for example, sorry for breaking in on you.
That's okay.
When you're eating
go ahead, hurry.
When you're eating a food that is basically concentrated protein and concentrated fat, you don't have any energy to crack that material with. So your body says, give me the frickin' sugar or I can't handle this.
That makes sense.
So your body says, I need the sugar. I need the sugar. Otherwise, I cannot metabolize the fat and I can't metabolize the protein.
Wow.
See, in
hey,
nature.
Hey, there's the break. Just coming in. So, hey, thank you very much, Tom. If you ever want to come on back again, just give me a call. You always
are welcome. So we had so much fun. We're at the end of the night already. Wow.
Yeah, it's been 2 hours, believe it or not.
All right.
God bless everybody.
Officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
It is a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible!
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m.